Buddha, Shri Dharma, Shri Sangha. In my talk yesterday, I spoke at some length about willpower and willingness. At its worst, willpower is just selfish willfulness with a lot of oomph in it. At its best, it acts in the service, it's employed in the service of willingness. It's easy to think of willingness as a more passive use of the will. But that's not what it's about. It's not a more passive use of the will, it's the right use of the will in any particular circumstances. Above everything else, it's faith-based. That is, one is referring to, looking for help to, that which is greater than oneself. And one is trusting in its great compassion and utter goodness. At the same time, it is often the case that one has to do something that's very difficult to do in one's willingness. And that's where it's important to know that one can grasp the will and do what one doesn't want to do. This becomes particularly difficult for very sincere people when they're seem to be clashing precepts, when it seems like willingness and the genuine following of the eternal may be taking one into shaky preceptual territory. In her commentary on the precepts, Reverend Master says, "Know that the Lord will never break the precepts. Therefore, we can be sure that the Eternal will never lead us to break the precepts." But hold on a minute here. We need to think carefully here. There's a letter of the precepts, and then there's what the precepts actually are about. Man crafted the letter of the precepts. They were not handed down in tablets of stone by a deity to man. The precepts, the way they are formulated in their letter, are our best attempt to give a general picture in certain key areas of life about what is not good to do, and therefore by implication what might be good to do. But a too literalistic view of the precepts becomes a great stumbling block to the actual following of the eternal. And there simply is no place of comfort in this, in many situations that naturally arise. One can be very aware that one is in doing what one really believes to be the best and the right thing to do. One is very aware that one is breaking a precept. And it is somewhat cold comfort. It can sometimes be very cold comfort that there is deep in one's blood and bones, as it were, the conviction that even if one appears to be breaking a precept, one is keeping a deeper precept. Still, one is breaking a precept and one takes the consequences for it. At the simplest level, every time we eat, we're killing. And we're encouraging killing. Every time we pull a weed in the garden, we're taking life. Every time time we take a step, we crush some living thing, even if a microscopic living thing, under our foot. When Winston Churchill tried to warn Parliament in the 1930s over and over again about the dangers of what was happening in Nazi Germany and of its inevitability that it would lead to war, and a terrible war, he was breaking the precept about speaking against others. Yet if his country had acted, it would have saved tens of millions of lives. Those who want to appear holy, those who want to not be disturbed by the truth, should stay away from Zen training. Because again and again and again and again, the awareness that is being cultivated in meditation, the willingness that is being cultivated in the training, will present one with consciousness of moral dilemmas that those who are not trying so hard to follow the precepts and be true to their heart simply glide on by. And as they do so, make a lot of karma that will catch up with them at a later date. One of the greatest difficulties in this process is that so often one feels deeply led to do or to not do something, and one cannot explain to those who are seeking an explanation. One cannot even explain to oneself why it is one is taking the stand one is taking, other than something in one is saying, do this or don't do this. I saw her master do this any number of times where she'd sit there and say, everything in me is saying to do such and such or not to do such and such. She did not offer an explanation. She did not necessarily have any idea why it is she was digging in the way she was, except that she believed that everything in her, that blood and bone certainty and conviction. In my experience, when I try to give an when that's happening with me and I try to give an explanation, because often people will be puzzled and want to know what it is you're doing here, often it will just make the whole thing more confusing because I'm trying to explain something that I don't fully understand myself. And often I later on find that the explanation I gave was not the right one at all. And yet I trust, and I trusted at the time, that I was picking up on something that in some way I needed to react to. Then you give it your best shot and you take the consequences. The willingness to accept the consequences, whatever they may be, is one of the signs of a true Zen master. This is not something I invented. I heard River Master say that herself. And I agree completely with that teaching. If you're not going through life with blinders on, you know that every act has what River Master called a Buddha aspect and a devil aspect. You might say a Mara aspect. You can't do anything in life, especially anything really worthwhile, without making some waves, without encountering difficulties, both in the process and in the consequences. To live in this way does not offer, as is so often portrayed, a kind of ideal, peaceful, trouble-free life. What it does offer is the cessation of suffering. And that means that one is not making, through willful indulgence of greed, hate, and delusion, one is not making those karmic waves that are going to be crashing on the shores of rebirth after rebirth down the ages. In other words, however difficult it may be in this lifetime, if one does it wholeheartedly, one gives oneself fully to the eternal and to the training that one has to do to give oneself to the eternal, then the causes of suffering are converted and one's life will not result in more lives of misery. More lifetimes of confusion and pain. Rather, there will be a legacy of merit from such a life. Merit that the eternal can use in many ways. It is relatively easy to exert willpower once one learns the secret that one has a will and that one can grasp it. True willingness is another matter altogether. So often one has to deep into one's heart to find it.